Amen. Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12 will be our text this morning. It is great to be together. Let me encourage you to look at the words as we read them in Isaiah chapter 12. It says this: "Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud, shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Dear Heavenly Father, would you grant to us, by your Holy Spirit, the ability to truly be grateful for the millions of things you've done and are doing in our lives. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that you would turn your anger away from them. That you would provide and allow in your sovereignty that they may continually draw from the well of salvation with joy. And Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to respond to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. For those of you who do not know that yet, you still have time to prepare, right? Let me ask you this. Do you celebrate Turkey Day or Thanksgiving? Have you ever heard that expression, Happy Turkey Day? Isn't that bizarre? We name the day, some of us, after the thing that we were about to eat. Isn't it strange that we eat on a holiday called Thanksgiving? Now, don't get me wrong. Nobody in this room loves turkey more than me. And the mashed potatoes. And the stuffing. And the absolute disregard for the biblical sin of gluttony. I'm a big fan. But I wonder, in my own heart, and in our congregational life, how many of us actually give thanks on Thanksgiving? I don't know if you're anything like me, but I always feel the same way after Thanksgiving meal. Full, maybe even a bit lethargic, and a little guilty. I mean, life has to be more than a meal, right? Thanksgiving has to be about something greater than turkey, right? So this morning, what I'd like to do is to remind you of the reasons for Thanksgiving. Now, I don't mean the reasons for having a day called Thanksgiving. What I mean here is the reasons for giving thanks in the first place. And I'd like to start with the secondary reasons. The secondary reasons are the things that normally we focus on a holiday called Thanksgiving. Things like this: we have food. Now, I'm assuming that you do. Maybe you don't. If you don't, come see us. Maybe we can help you. But when you, I don't know if you're anything like me, but make me feel better, sinners. Do you walk around the house on Thanksgiving Day like this? Don't you? It fills the house. And I don't know if you're anything like me and my family, but all day goes into preparing, and then the meal is like wild dogs attacking a carcass. Growing up, I used to see just the top of my dad's head and food flying to either side. Most of us have food, and that's good. Praise God for that. We also have family, if you do. I mean, maybe you're by yourself this year. Maybe you have nobody on Thursday. But you have us today. We praise God that you're here. We have life. Now, I'm assuming this as well. If any of you are dead, would you please raise your hand so we can call the ambulance? There's a couple. Okay. I hope you realize that every time you put your fingers here and feel a thump, that it is the gift of God. We have this church. I've been super blessed to be here. I'm thankful for the congregation. I'm thankful for how receptive you've been to the preaching of the Word of God. You guys used to be scary a couple years ago. Now I've gotten used to you. Look at those faces. I'm thankful for my fellow pastors and for the office staff and leadership team and all the rest. We're not a perfect church, but regardless of imperfections, I'm sure everyone here would praise God that we have each other. And the last thing we have whatever it is you love put in that line. Maybe you have the perfect home life, or maybe you have certain things that you're just super thankful for. A job, your health, whatever. These are awesome reasons for giving thanks to God, but they are secondary reasons for giving thanks to God. So then, let me point you to superior reasons for giving thanks to God. In Isaiah 12, it says this, "And you will say in that day, I will praise you, O Lord, for you are angry at me. And your anger has turned from me. And you've comforted me." Beloved, the superior reason you have for thanking God is that one day you were under His wrath, and the next day you were the object of His love. He's not mad at you anymore. And this may just bounce off of you because maybe you've never been taught that God was mad at you in the first place. But friends, tremble. Tremble that the infinite, holy, sovereign, powerful God looks at you in mercy. Here we are, many of us carving the turkey when our goose is cooked. Celebrating a thankless Thanksgiving under the wrath of the God of the Bible. He was angry with us. Don't pass too quickly over this. He was angry at us because of what we have done. But now He's satisfied. He was angry at us because of the good we left undone. And now He's satisfied. He was angry at us because of what we were. And now He's satisfied. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, beloved, says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Now listen to this, beloved. "And we're by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." As you sit around your table on Thursday, or sit on the floor, or wherever you sit, remember, God was mad at you. And He's not anymore. Wow. He is now satisfied. His anger is turned away from us. Not only that, look in your text. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for you were angry with me, and your anger has turned, and you comforted me." He comforted me. The very God I offended in my sinfulness comforted me. The very God whose wrath I demanded by my weapons of rebellion has comforted me. As Ephesians 2, 4 through 7 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Why? "So that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us." Friends, if you can hear those words and not be affected, you might be dead. When faced with the brutal reality of our sinfulness and the almost scandalous nature of His forgiveness, to stand at that place unmoved, you may be dead. Instead, we must be thankful. God Himself has been satisfied. God Himself is your salvation. Notice with me, beloved, in verse 2. "Behold, God of my salvation," or "God is my salvation." Don't miss that. Not only was God angry at us, not only is God's anger turned from us, but He's the reason why His anger is turned from us. He's the reason why we can stand before Him and find Him satisfied. Notice what we find here in verse 2. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not tremble," or be afraid. Why? Why? Because the very same God who I offended with my sinfulness has delivered me from the consequences demanded by His justice. The very same God I've dishonored with my rebellion has honored me with His deliverance. The very same God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, friends, says this, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." God Himself is our salvation. Thirdly, God Himself is our strength. In the latter part of verse 2, it says this, For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become to me salvation. God Himself is our strength. Now, what does this mean? This means that God Himself provides our strength. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says this: after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God will do that. It also means that the joy we have in serving God is our strength. Would you agree with me that doing things that make you miserable is harder than doing things that make you happy? I want to share my Thanksgiving life verse with you. Are you ready? Nehemiah 8:10. Jot this down, memorize it this week. Then he said to them, "Go eat of the fat and drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now that may not sound appetizing to you. Go eat the fat. But do you know what gravy is? It's thickened fat. That's all it is. Fat and flour. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that on Thursday you will be obeying this verse? Oh, sweet obedience, my friends. Your great aunt Gertrude says, "More mashed potatoes and gravy?" And you say, "Back off, Nehemiah 8:10. It says, go eat the fat, drink the sweet. Why? Because rejoicing in the Lord is our strength. And so when you eat these things on Thursday, let them remind you of Christ. Let them remind you of God. He Himself is our strength. He Himself is our song. Verse 2. For my strength and my song is the Lord God. It says this in Hebrew. It says, my strength and my song is Yah Adonai, or Yah Yahweh. He says it twice, two different names for God, to emphasize He is the content of our songs. And He's the reason why we sing them. This means that everything we have to sing about is either from God or found in God. This means that our highest aspirations of praise are always, whether we recognize it or not, an act of celebration of God. God Himself is our source. I love this, beloved. Look with me at verse 3. Verse 3, and you will draw water with joy. You will draw water from joy from the springs of salvation. What does this mean? This means every day in our lives, when we fail, when we stumble, we get to draw water from an infinitely deep well. God was mad at you. He's not anymore. Listen, friends, He never will be again. You're just going to keep drawing that water. You make a mistake, you sin, you act defiantly, and the very God whom you've spat in His face will Himself pour His water of forgiveness, His water of salvation all over you. God is our song. He is our source. And God Himself has done the spectacular. Beloved, would you look with me at verse 5? Where it says, sing, some of your translations, sing praises to the Lord. Why? For He has done wonders, splendors. Make known this in all the land. You know what would be great on Thursday? And I know it might feel a little forced. It might feel a little cringy. But go around the table and just say what you're thankful about. And if you really want to be super spiritual, go around and talk about secondary reasons. And then go around again talking about superior reasons. Look the person across the table from you in the eye and say, I praise God, you're in my life. But I also praise God that He redeemed my life. As you're chowing down on a huge turkey leg, juices flowing on your face. Thinking to yourself, I wish I wore a shirt. I want you to think, I'm kidding. That's not how we do things, okay? I want you to think, this is awesome. And this is delicious. But God's not mad at me anymore. If you can think about that and be pleased with anything less than God, you might be dead. God is our song. God is our source. God Himself has done the spectacular. So these are the reasons for thanksgiving. Let's talk about the responses of thanksgiving. First of all, be thankful for His greatness. In verse 4, we find this. Now, this might be one of the obvious statements, but let me ask this. Are you thankful for His greatness? Are you thankful for His goodness? Are you thankful for His graciousness? Verse 4 says, and you will say in that day, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations His deeds. Sing to Him. Cause Him to be remembered, for His name is glorious, exalted. If you are thankful for God this Thanksgiving, call on Him. How sad would it be to be reclining in your lazy boy chair, belt loosened, top button undone, snoozing through a football game, and then realize you have not yet even stopped to thank your God. And yet we do it. Call on Him. Let that day and every day be a day of worship to Him. Call on Him for His greatness. Secondly, testify about His greatness. Notice in chapter 4 it says this, make known among the peoples His deeds. Let this Thanksgiving remind you to tell people across the world about Jesus. I love Operation Christmas Child. I think it's one of the coolest things in the whole church year. As I think about these kids on the other side of the planet opening a box from us, saying, I don't even know who they are, but somebody cares about me. And then to find the message of Jesus in that. I mean, I love all these things with the stars and the Christmas child and all these ministries. But let's not forget our missionaries, too, that are telling people about Jesus across the world. And who knows whether they have turkey where those guys are? Like eating Thanksgiving eel or something. I mean, who wants to do that? Tell people across the world. Tell people across the street. And this is more difficult than telling people across the world. But maybe the most difficult is this. Tell people across the table what God means to you. In Psalm 145, 4 through 7, it says this, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness." Mothers, fathers, you have an opportunity on Thursday. An opportunity to remind your family that Jesus is better than turkey or stuffing or even that cranberry sauce stuff that slides out of the can. I love that stuff. I don't know really even what it's made out of. It's delicious. Right? There's no mayo on that table, beloved. Testify about his greatness. In verse 5, praise him for his greatness. Don't let the time pass without acts of worship. See, worship and gratitude go hand in hand. And as we already said in verse 5, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done wonders, splendors. If that's true, then talk about it. Now, I know sometimes it can feel a little forced. Like halfway through the meal, you're like, you know what? Let's take a little time. I don't know what kind of reaction you get from your other members of your family, but it's probably something like this. Oh, great, here it comes. We have to be thankful. Yes. And the last point, the last point is this: rejoice in his greatness. Verse 6, cry out and rejoice, O dwellers of Zion, those who dwell in Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This Hebrew word here for holy is the same word that the seraphim were shouting in Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy. Same word. And he is in our midst. So cry out and rejoice, O dwellers of Zion. Now, what's the best way to rejoice? What's the best way to honor your mom after she made this delightful meal, or your dad, or your grandma? I'll teach you. It's this: the yummy sound. I mean, cooks, are you offended when somebody eats what you've cooked and you go like this, and they go like this? Oh. I call it the Bill Cosby face, though. No, we honor the one who made the meal by enjoying it. Putting our hands on our stomach and saying, that was fantastic. We'll do that on Thursday to God. Did you look around the table? In your heart, go, Rejoicing in God glorifies God. One more point must be made: the reality of Thanksgiving. Beloved, don't miss the point. Of all the things that we do on Thanksgiving, we may actually forget to give thanks. Let me challenge you to give thanks on Thanksgiving, radical concept. And secondly, of all the things that we're thankful for on Thanksgiving, we may miss the most important thing. That God was angry with us, but now his anger is turned away. Don't miss the point. And don't miss this opportunity. Time goes quickly, my friends. And that little kid who has mashed potatoes all over his face is going to be in college just like that. So do two things. Thank God for them, and thank God with them. If you are here this morning and you are not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me challenge you not to miss this opportunity. That unless you've come to him, his anger remains on you. Unless you've received him, your expectation is only wrath. But he wants you to come to him. He offers you that if you would call out to him, he would hear you, receive you, change you, save you. In the book, The Valley of Vision, I'd like to end with this prayer and then go into actually praying. O Lord God, who inhabitest eternity, the heavens declare your glory, the earth thy riches. Thy universe is thy temple. Thy presence fills immensity. Yet thou hast of thy pleasure created life and communicated happiness. You have made me what I am and given me what I have. In you I live and move and have my being. Your providence has set the bounds of my habitation and wisely administers all my affairs. I thank you for your riches to me in Jesus, for the unclouded revelation of him in your word, where I behold in his person character, grace, glory, humiliation, sufferings, death, resurrection. Give me to feel a need of his continual saviorhood and cry with Job, I'm vile, and with Peter, I perish. With the publican, be merciful to me, the sinner. Subdue in me the love of sin. Let me know the need of renovation as well as forgiveness in order to serve you and enjoy you forever. I come to you in the all-prevailing name of Jesus, with nothing on my own to plead, no works, no worthiness, no promises. I'm often straying, often knowingly opposing your authority, often abusing your goodness. Much of my guilt arises from my religious privileges and my low estimation of them, my failure to use them to my advantage. But I'm not careless of your favor or regardless of your glory. Impress me deeply with a sense of your omnipresence, that you are about my path, my ways, my lying down, my end. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you because you have done wonders, both in the world and in our lives. You've had mercy on us. You have diverted your anger from us. And Lord, to even think about that stirs us. It fills us with the sense of joy, humility. Lord, if there's someone here today or watching online or maybe watching later, if now is the time for them to lay down their weapons of rebellion and to come to you with empty hands, no merit, no goodness, no promises, in an act of desperation, asking you to divert your anger from them, to turn your anger from them. Would you stir them to do that? That they may draw from the well of your salvation. And in doing that, would you fill their hearts with gratefulness and joy? For those of us who are already saved, would you remind us of who you are, what you've done, what you will be? And as we eat and as we sing and as we pray and as we share, would you give us the joy of the Lord? To our everlasting delight and to your eternal glory. Amen.